Welcome to Alistair Knox's Satanic Audio Blog. This week, a few rambling thoughts. On regular occasion, I read numerous blog posts to get a feel for the current thought and rationale of mainstream culture. Some posts are quite interesting and well thought out, which is very refreshing to read, while some are simply a line of bullshit in the form of prose. There have been more and more of the dark and brooding posts lately, and some are well done as high art, and others are just plain belly-aching and pointless bantering. There are more suicidal blogs emerging around the world, and to tell you the truth, it gets old very quickly. The world sucks. They have been wronged. And no one gives a shit about anyone else. So, dry your tears and do something with yourself. Every person has something to offer society. So, log off and move on. There are some people who will never be happy, and that is an accepted fact. I do, however, think some of these individuals would serve a higher calling if they would just stop feeling sorry for themselves. What you put into life is what you get out of it, and if complaining is all that you put in, then you will have nothing but misery received. It is a vice that can be, at the end game, deadly in its conclusion. So wake up. For the last 2 weeks, I have followed this one young woman through this exact cycle. She is not a beauty queen, but she is pleasant and certainly not grotesque. She has attributes, and, simply put, she plays down her ability to be more than she is currently. I find it to be a tremendous waste of time, resources, and ultimately her youth, which runs out so very quickly. She is adamant to fish for compliments from her visitors. I have never commented nor spoken to her at all. I watch while either young boys or old scallywags toy with her words in certain sexual innuendos and tedious responses. She is as a puppy seeking approval of her guests, while deeply craving something much more. She wants to leave the town that she lives in. She wants to start over. She posts pictures of her friends from a long time ago in some unattainable effort to resurrect the good old days of her past. She posts pictures of couples having intercourse and acts of fellatio and cunnilingus while commenting and sighing or using emoticons. I have seen many girls who have found Satanism after floundering in the same unproductive cycle, and they became stable, happy, and satisfied individuals, physically and spiritually as well. I have vowed to remain silent, but perhaps finding Satan would have the same impact and break the chain that will one day figuratively and perhaps realistically strangle the life out of her. Satan and the satanic followers throughout the world recognize a person has strengths, and there are possibilities that can be realized with only the exchange of words. If the world does not want or need these individuals, Satanism will gladly receive them with open arms. As a magus, I envision a person's capabilities and I look beyond the face value to find the strength that can be tangibly realized by that person. If they only stop crying and begin trying. There is always room in the satanic family, and Satan wants you. When working satanic magical spells, be sure to clear your mind of everything except for the focus of working. When you are having trouble concentrating, you should stop the ritual work and meditate for a few minutes or until you have control of your thoughts. This is a very crucial part of magic overall, but it essentially applies to spells. The focus of your energy must be precise. It should be honed to a laser point that you are always in control of and are consistently and constantly increasing the potency of that energy being generated. Anything less will fail to yield the desired outcomes and will perhaps harm you as a byproduct. Many people overlook meditation in their daily lives, and that is a real shame. My last podcast was on meditation, and I received a few feedback comments from different people who had experienced certain things after using meditation that they had not experienced before. And I say, praise be to Satan. There are so many benefits from frequent meditation and clearing of the mind, chakras, and channels. Among the benefit is repairing the brain. So, before your next magical working, invite those that you work with in the ritual to meditate with you. Formulate the way, as a group or alone, to visualize the outcome of your working. When the group agrees, with one unanimous image in mind, begin the meditation process. I wanted to say a few comments about Satanism as big business. I often receive email from those who listen to the blog and also those who read different posts and different meanderings that I put all over the internet from time to time, and people also reblog. Satanism is a big business, and especially for Christianity and the Christian church. I'm often reminded of how quickly the church enters into judgment of anyone and anything related to Satan or the satanic. When rushing through that wide gate leading to damning of the satanic arts and giving the false impression of elevating the hypocritical dictates of the church, often the facts and reality of the situation are overlooked. One case in point reminds me of the Satan Cellar. This was a gentleman, his name Mike Warnke. He claimed to have been a high priest in the California Satanic Coven, and he exposed, or supposedly exposed, many satanic practices and behind-the-scenes actions that go along with the hard-rocking, devil-worshipping bunch of really bad folks doing nothing more than being scary old Satanists. He recorded these supposed happenings in his book that was called The Satan Cellar. Not really knowing what the hell to do to make a dollar, the book was released, and when the Holy Rolling Big Bucks Mega Giant Music Corporation Word Music got financially behind Mr. Warnke, the dollars began to stack all the way to their heaven. Christians were eating this stuff up as fast as they could publish it, and the flood of money would have made old Noah in the Bible build a bigger boat. There was only one little bitty problem that no one had thought about, or perhaps they had thought about it, but they were willing to keep their mouths shut and continue the money trail. No one had verified the information in his book was true. The bomb was ticking, and it was just a matter of time before someone asked the right questions and brought down the house of cards. So, while the Christians were lapping up these books, Mike decided to go to the church tour circuit as an expert on Satanism and teaching how to fight these old forces of darkness. He was a likable fellow, and I do admit that. What's not to like? He was charismatic. He was a very gifted bullshitter, which goes a long way in the Christian church. He was quick with a joke, and he was selling the secrets of Satanism. I mean, what really could be better? Once again, Satan was the scapegoat, while religion made a huge amount of money. Every kingdom must come to an end, though, and Mike's began to unravel in the late 1980s when Cornerstone magazine quietly launched an investigation into his ministry and his background. Warnke was being examined by his own people. When the final report was published, it was a long fall to the bottom. To make a short story even longer here, his business as a satanic expert was proven to be nothing more than a lie, and all the information in the Satan cellar was pure bullshit. Today, his long hair is gone, but he's still the same former Satanist who scared the hell out of millions of Christians for nearly two decades during the Satanic Panic. His lies convinced them all that witches and pagans and Satanists and anyone else that doesn't conform to the dictates of the church were a threat to every family worldwide, and that the occult menace of Halloween celebrations and rock music must be destroyed. So, the rehabilitation of his career demonstrates that truth is the secondary importance to Americans' Christian community. Holy hell, how about that? So, the church accepts him back, and he continues to go on the tour circuit. So, in Selling Fear, most religions teach that they alone hold the true secrets of religion, and they uniquely possess the only true knowledge of God. That implies that followers of other religions are in error and are worshiping a false god. Some faith groups even teach that followers of other religions worship Satan or demons. I guess that would be true in our case as Satanists. Back in the 1980s and 1990s, many Christian groups accused Wiccans and other neo-pagans of being Satanists and responsible for the widespread satanic ritual abuse, SRA, of children. There were instances of physical assault, attempted mob attacks, advocacy of genocide, etc., by some Christian groups against the neo-pagans. These threats have largely dissipated as accurate knowledge about neo-paganism is spread and as more people realize that SRA really never happened. Satanic ritual abuse mostly was just people behaving badly and doing what they wanted to do and blaming it on Satan. Once again, the scapegoat of the centuries. Many public schools did not teach even the rudiments of world religions, and that continues today. Perhaps a misunderstanding of the principle of separation of church and state, or out of fear of negative reactions by parents. Faith groups generally do not include meaningful studies of any other religion in their youth education classes, perhaps out of concern that their children might actually discover the truth of religion and that that religion might become more attractive. Many religions use information sources like the internet and elsewhere to teach a heavily distorted view of religion and about the teaching of heresies by cults. People often fear groups that they don't understand. Fear often leads to discrimination, rejection, denigration, etc. Most religions' holy books are based on pre-scientific error, and quite honestly, a lot of the things are stolen from the pagans and Satanists and Druids, more especially. The Christian Bible, for example, discusses an earth-centered universe created less than 10,000 years ago. The Bible contains many fear-based passages which storms, tsunamis, floods, and other natural disasters are sent by their God to punish humans. Even though weather, earthquakes, comets, eclipses, planetary motions, etc. are all known to be natural phenomena now, subject to natural forces, some of the same fear of God's punishment still remains. This has led to fear expressed by many religious leaders because God might expose the entire population of the U.S. or the Earth to natural disasters because of actions of secularitarianism, feminist groups, pro-choice groups, progressive Christians, etc. This fear has resulted in hatred being expressed against humanists, religious liberals, and the world course of Satanism. The World Christian Encyclopedia has identified 270 large religious groups and many smaller ones in the world. These religions teach an amazing variety of conflicting beliefs concerning deities and humanity and morality and the rest of the universe. If we assume that absolute truth exists in theological matters, the chances of any one faith group having the whole truth is a fraction of 1%. Yet, for many people, religion is an accident of birth. A person born in Saudi Arabia will almost certainly become a Muslim in adulthood. A person born in Alabama will most probably be a fundamentalist or other evangelical Christian, and so forth. In spite of these facts, many, perhaps most, hold tenaciously to their unique religious beliefs, having zero doubt that they are absolutely true. A little doubt would go a long way to alleviating religious intolerance in the world. No one is going to engage in a suicide attack if they harbor the slightest doubt about their God, heaven, or paradise. I hope that point is well taken. Most monolithic religions have historically taught that God will judge people after death and will send them to either a heaven or a hell. Many, perhaps most, people believe that they and most of their fellow believers will end up in some sort of heaven, while most or all of the followers of other religions will go to hell. In similar fashion, most Christians believe that in the near future, during a rapture, Christians who were saved will rise up in the air to meet their Christ in the sky. The unsaved will remain on earth to experience a mass slaughter, the largest genocide the world has ever seen, during a tribulation and war of Armageddon. God is seen primarily as a wrathful deity who has such a low opinion of other religions, he will organize a massive genocide and have those followers tortured for all eternity without hope of mercy or relief. If God hates believers of other religions so intensely, then it may well be difficult for true believers to avoid denigrating them. In religion, duality is the concept that the world is ruled by certain forces of good and evil. Many individuals have a us versus them belief. They regard their own race, color, sex, religion, national origin, skin color, etc., as the good side and others as representing the evil side. Much of this thinking is based on a lack of knowledge of other religions, races, ethnicities, etc. Many people have closely linked their religion to their nationality. We experience this as George W. Bush denied citizenship and patriot status to those who did not believe in the existence of his God. This was also seen in former Yugoslavia during the 1990s when the Serbs fused their Serbian Orthodox Christian faith with the Serbian nationality. The result? genocide of Muslims and others, involving the death of over 200,000 victims. Faith is the true evil. Blind, unquestioning faith in a religion or a cause has made men go to war, commit unspeakable acts of persecution, torture, terrorism, and rape against other human beings. The Satanist does not offer such an allegiance. It is his principle to ask why. This one little word, why, can shatter empires. No wonder they are all afraid of us. Until next time, this has been Alistair Nacht. Hail Satan.